Hello, everybody.
Woo!
That's a really nice response. I'm so glad that it's come around to September because everyone's back. And when I say hello, no one's sleeping or no one's in a food coma, which is great. But anyways, welcome to Freedom River Outreach. Today, it's going to be a beautiful day. And during announcements, I will announce there is a special event today after church, right? So first one. So we have had quite a busy summer meeting with the leaders, doing various different things. The one last thing that is on our list is today. It is softball and barbecue day. There we go. So, So if I can call Pastor Dennis up. Oh yes, he's pastor now. So Pastor Dennis up to give you directions because apparently no one knows where to go. So I'm here to tell you the only thing I know is it's at Lincoln Park. Not the band, but the park up there somewhere.
Yes, it's just up the hill, past Holy Rosary, across the freeway, 37th and G Street. Huh? Well, the park is, if you go up here, you just go up 37th and G, take a right, go over to Thompson, I believe it's Thompson. Or Yakima, and take a right. It'll be right around the corner there. You'll see Lincoln Park. You'll see us out in the grass field. And if you need to, we'll drive very slowly so people can follow us. And if you have any other questions, don't ask him. I'll be the one. Because this is the team to be on. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you, Pastor Dennis. So, in case you missed the little memo, it's actually Team Jesus versus Team Pastor Dennis. So, it's going to be pretty awesome. So, last week, we had our first kimbap making class hosted by our very own Pastor Michael, and we just wanted to thank you so much for teaching us and for providing us with mats so we can make our own. Okay, next on the list, movie night. We have a movie night coming back on the 6th of September, and the movie is going to be Wreck-It Ralph. So, as you can hear from the title, it's actually a family movie, so you can bring your kids, bring your little ones, bring some snacks if you'd like. I think we have some snacks. We have some basic snacks, but if you'd like to bring some extra snacks that we might not have, like jalapeno sriracha popcorn, then bring your own. Okay, next Saturday, it's men's breakfast. I see more than two men in here. Come on. Next Saturday is men's breakfast. Yeah, there we go. Men's breakfast at 9 a.m. in classroom one. There you go. I still can't quite figure out which one's which. But yes, it's going to be really awesome. It's going to be men only. Sorry, ladies. And we're going to have a good time of just fellowship, reading the Bible, and just seeing how it's applicable in our lives. So it's really cool. Safe place to talk, whatever you want it to be. Living Free class. Now, before I actually announce, I'm going to announce it first. Living Free class is really awesome because it's not just about dealing with the same patterns in your life or same problems in your life. It's about you know, trying to deal with root issues, if that makes sense. Something that is deep inside that you might have forgotten, you might have neglected, or something that might have happened when you were growing up that, you know, that made you the way you are. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I'm just like this. It's like, no, that's not true. In Jesus Christ, we have freedom. So, in freedom, we are going to start this Living Free class. And the special bonus this year is that we've got Youth Living Free class with our very own Galia, who is there on the organ. There you go. Take a bow. Take a bow. There you go. So that starts on the 17th of September at 6:30 in the fellowship hall for the adults. The kids are going to probably be in the prayer room or somewhere. We will announce that closer to the day. And I just wanted to give a quick praise report. For those of you who were here on Thursday, two incredible ladies gave their testimonies, and John really put them on the spot for them to pray for people who wanted prayer. And at that point, I grew up with a slip disc since I was yay big, and it's always been a problem. That day, I was in immense pain as well. I had to do food bank. I was cooking the whole day, and I was ready to be like, oh, I just need my bed. But I went up for prayer. I got prayed for, and I'm healed. And I just wanted to give that praise report just because our God is so awesome. So, yeah. Okay, we've got Man Camp coming soon. Man Camp. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we've got Man Camp coming soon. Yeah. Okay, so it's going to be from 4th to 6th of October. The cost is $25 if you register as soon as possible. $30 after 3rd of October, so that's like the day before. So please don't leave it till the day before. You know, save yourself $5. That's like a coffee, I think. Almost a coffee or something like that. So, and we're accepting donations for sponsorship. Donations are welcomed and accepted. James is your point man. Where is James? Oh, yes. He might be running around. But yeah, that's James right there. So, yeah. If you see him, say, hey, I'm interested, sign me up so that we have a good idea of how many people are coming. And finally, we have a video. It takes a little while for it to warm up. Okay, and now that is some healthy competition. Now, I'd like everyone to stand up because I see a lot of new faces today. Maybe it's just me because I'm new. But I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, "Hey, good looking. I'm glad you're here today." And now find someone you don't know and say the same. "Hey, good looking. I'm glad you're here today."
We are before the Lord. Your life's struggles, all the pains, everything is done. We are standing before the Lord and realizing everything is over. All the pain is over. It is a wonderful feeling. Wow, it's done. No more imperfections, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. I had a vision years ago, and I was being raptured. And I remember that feeling distinctively because I was so happy. I was crying. Oh, it is over. It is finished. It was so, so wonderful. This is what, oh, I'm going to heaven. And I know I was in my house for a second, and then before you know it, I was transformed. I was in the middle of the air, soaring to the sky and meeting. And I knew by feeling there's my Lord right there. Just, I know there's, and then I realized it is done. It is over. Wow, it is. That feeling, it was years ago. It was 1980 something. And then I remember that distinctly to this day. And I just wanted to share that with you for a second, because any day, any moment, it can happen to all of us, right? Our life's queries, it's all over. We are standing before the Lord, and we're going to see. We're going to realize this is all over. Before the Lord. And I just want us to be in the presence of that. All the imperfections, addictions, relationship problems, all the queries and questions and pains that you have, it's just a momentary. It's a momentary. And before you know it, we're going to be soaring the sky, and we're going to be right there in front of the Lord. And we're going to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me." And I remember crying. I remember just the tears just coming out of my eyes, because I'm so thankful that Jesus died for me. And Jesus did all the suffering for me. And I was so thankful. And then there's a hand coming out of nowhere, just wiping my tears off. "You don't have to cry anymore, because I'm right here. I'm right here." Say, the voice of Jesus is coming. That's why we worship. The day is coming. If you haven't trusted Jesus, do that today. Do that today. Ushers, come. I don't want to start preaching. Ushers, come. Let's really give the Lord worship. I'm getting carried away. All right, let's really worship through our material and all the worries that you have. Don't worry, it's at the feet of the Lord. It's done. It's a done deal. Everyone say, "It's a done deal." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your suffering. Thank you for your loving, for dying on the cross for me. Lord, we know it. I know it. It's for me. If there's no one else in the whole world, you would have done that for me. You would have done that just for me. Lord, we want to give you praise. And I want to give you all the glory and honor to you, because you deserve all the glory. Here we are, we give you our offerings. It's a token of everything that you have given to us. We confess to you, whatever we have, it's not ours, it's yours. You gave it. You gave the ability. You gave everything, all the happiness, all the... So, Lord, you deserve all the glory. receive the offering, receive our hearts. You're worthy of all our praises, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Michael. Thank you, worship team. Wow, yes. Praise God. Good to see everybody on this first day of September, Labor Day weekend. I hope you have a day off tomorrow and get to labor where you want to labor, I guess, because my day off is probably going to be laboring in my yard. So, but I think that's part of it, a day of rest. There's the church calendar for you. Getting back to somewhat normal, some things kicking off here. Come join us on the movie night this Friday. Family fun, that's the whole idea. Fire up the popcorn machine. And so that's the added event for this week, men's breakfast next Saturday. But notice on our radar already, it was in the announcements, the Living Free class coming up. Help me really advertise this to youth. I am really excited about Galia doing this, and I forget the ages, but she said junior high and senior high, is that close? Middle? Okay, somewhere in there, you can talk to her. But I think we'll all agree, there's a huge fight over the next generation and the next, and I don't like grumpy Christians, period. But Christians that kind of, their only message is what you're not. I don't think that's our message. Our message is what you are. Yes, absolutely. And Living Free is going to equip our young people with their original design. We're going to tell them who they really are in Christ. That's going to be our message, is here's the truth. Here's who you are. Now, you can choose that if you want or not, but at least you're going to hear God's truth. So I want to see more emphasis on that than even the adult class. But by the way, adult class, we're going to be doing the same thing. We need that as well. So help me create interest, bring people, tell people that maybe you know a young person and they may not be part of the church. It's just 6 weeks, 7 weeks with the I Am statement. So have them come and join us as our guests. We would love to have them. So I think that catches me up basically on the calendar. It is back to school time. And I know we have a few people in the congregation that I know of that are entering back in. Some school districts, I guess, have already started, but most will start next week. And so I want to pray for all those that are in our educational system. If you are a paraeducator, Renee, I'm talking about you. She's a school nurse. Come on up. Cindy, Katie, I know you guys are educators in the preschool. But anyone else that I don't know, please come on up. We want to pray for you. And so you guys have to stand in and kind of be representatives of. Okay, Katie didn't hear me. Katie, oh, she did hear me. She's just, all right, thank you. And I happen to know all three of these heroes of the faith. They are amazing, and they care for the next generation with their hearts, with being there, with prayers. So we need to pray for them, but also, please, representative of teachers, administrators, that whole system. We're not just going to default and say, hey, world, have your way. No, as Christians, as believers in God's truth, we want to pray, we want to bless, and we're going to fight for the next generation and the next. So let's stand and join me in praying for these amazing people. And if you feel comfortable, you can kind of raise your hands at impartation. Yeah, if you want to come up and lay hands. Yeah, there's some people I could tell. They're like, nah, I'm too far away. Yeah, help me out here. Well, let's. All right. Well, Lord, I thank you for these amazing heroes. And I don't use that term lightly, but They're actually out there every day. They're caring for young people. They're praying. They're sometimes the last resort or the only voice of truth and sense that some of these young people will experience. So God, thank you for each one. And as they stand here representative of Back to School and our educators, Lord, we pray for more Christians in the school system. We pray, God, for your truth to reign. We pray, God, that your culture of love, peace, goodness, self-control, sound mind, God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be active and that you will protect our children. And this next generation we are willing to fight for and pray for. So, God, I thank you for these that are in this system. Be with them. Provide for them. God, I pray promotion and even a greater voice. And more people are influenced. Some are in situations like Daniel was in Babylon. it's not real friendly. But God, you gave favor and an unusual aptitude to Daniel and his companions. So God, I pray that over our educators. Favor and an unusual aptitude, a wisdom that comes from heaven to see your kingdom advanced. And God, to see our young people cared for and truth spoken over them. I pray protection over this school year for every place that children are coming to learn. God, may your spirit protect them and provide for them. So Lord, again, we just thank you as we are looking forward to the start of this new school year. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said, amen, amen. Amen. Wow, did the summer seem to go fast?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not gonna call it over yet, but it seems on September 1st, it's, you know, turn the page and pull out sweaters and, you know, pumpkin spice lattes, the whole deal. So, all right, we are in the book of Acts, and we have a little bit of work to do this morning, so it's not just going to be a message as usual, so don't get too comfortable. I know I just had you standing up, probably going to have you standing up here in a few minutes again, but here's where we're going. This missionary journey is continuing to develop, and I kind of want to make less about the map and where they are in these towns that they're visiting, but more about the Holy Spirit and how active he is and the strategy in these different places. And the Holy Spirit's strategy in the first century, which I believe is a strategy today. Yes, there are different cultures, obviously, and the Holy Spirit can account for that, but our message is a message of power. And you see this at the next place that Paul and Barnabas go to. And they went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. They start there. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But I looked at several versions of this next sentence. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. That's a way of saying two very different people groups both heard one message and believed. And I think that is pretty amazing speaking. Some translations say they spoke with such power that Jews and Gentiles believed. And I know sometimes we get a little enamored by that, and we kind of use that term, yeah, what a powerful message, what a powerful time, and yeah, amen. But understand, the power to believe is the power of God. And when I'm asking God for more power, it's not just to be clever and, you know, better examples. No, God, it's the power to speak so efficiently, so effectively, that people will go from unbelief to belief. That's God's power. And think how that happened in your life. And if you can remember that time, you're probably going to be like me, and you're probably going to, your first response is going to be, wow, thank you, God. That was the power. That was your power. It didn't seem real flashy. Maybe people didn't even understand what was going on. But God, that is evidence of your power right here in my life in my time. Thank you, God, for your power. And by the way, I titled today Holy Spirit Missional Lifestyle because I kind of like this phraseology. They went as usual into the, you know, hey, here's another day at the office for us. We're going to go put our life on the lines and we're going to speak about the gospel. So this wasn't just a job. This was a lifestyle. This is just where God had them, and they didn't think anything crazy about that. They just said, okay, we're on to the next place. We're just going to give the message that God has given us. But God gave them the ability, or, you know, let's say them, but also the audience, to hear and believe. All right, we got to back up a little bit. Acts 13, we're going to actually be in Acts 14 most of the time, but let's start at the end of Acts 13. Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, and people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. This is kind of where we meant to end last week. I don't think I got this far. But many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas and the two men, and they urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. And the number one point of this is not to love these guys, not to even love the message, but in the sense, if you love truth, you're going to love God. And if you recognize that we all have an agenda and ask God for his agenda, don't fear this process. This is kind of a wrap up of last message, because these guys didn't want Paul and Barnabas to leave. They wanted to follow them. And Paul and Barnabas and said, hey, don't rely on us. Rely on God. Love truth. Our agenda is not to get you following us. And you might be familiar with Psalm 139, but I think this is really important verse for us, in that the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. What this is describing is a process that we all enter into as followers of Jesus Christ. And I remember a time when that process terrified me. And I remember praying and saying, God, I don't want you to go very deep, because I'm really terrified of what you're going to find. And once you kind of find that, you're going to know the real me. And I'm so terrified of being rejected. I don't want you to go that deep and then you reject me. Because God, if you reject me, there's no one left. I can bluff other people for so long. I can go so far on just kind of figuring out how to fit in. Excuse me. But God, if you reject me, there's no one left. That's scary. Well, of course, I hope you are hearing that and you're smiling and going, oh, that is so silly. Pastor, you didn't recognize that lie? No, there was a time in my life I did not recognize that lie. And the lie is this: God will not reject you. God hasn't rejected you. Yes, other people may have, but it wasn't Jesus, all right? Differentiate. No, I'm not saying get over it, there's no rejection in your life. Yeah, there's been rejection in your life, but never from Jesus. Never. And there never will be. So you don't have to be terrified of this process. You don't have to fear it. You don't have to go, oh, if I really open up my heart, if God really knows. And of course, the silliness of that is that this is your Creator. He knows you. And can I say, he knows you better than you know you. You're being blinded by your sin and failure, and you're looking at that, and you're thinking, that defines me. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm holding the blueprints of your heart. I knit that together in your mother's womb. I'm the one that spoke into your DNA. I'm the one that has an original design for you, not this other stuff. Amen. And I went to the cross so I can relate to you based on what I originally designed for you, not your sin, not your failure. That's not who you are. Quit defining yourself by that. Wow. I have to quit defining myself by my sin, by my failure, by my hurts, by my past. Yes, and so do you. And that's what we are doing here together. We're saying, like, God, I give the right to define who I am to you. You define me. I think this is what the single most courageous thing we can do as believers is we can believe what God says about us, period. Over all the other voices in our life, and I know there's a lot out there, even over your own voice, which is the main one that is so influenced by your sin and your failure and your hurts, I am going to believe God above that. Yes, David finally got to that place when he wrote this psalm, to where he said, oh, I get it. And yes, he had plenty of sin. He had plenty of failure. And he said, God, I'm not going to be defined by that. I give you permission to look into my heart because I want to keep going. As far as I've come, I want to go even further. Search me, oh God. And if there's anything left, let's clean that out too. Because this partnership we have, you and me, personal Savior, I love that you love me. I want to be that person. I want to be what you designed. I want to be that created being and walk in this path, this partnership with you, who I really am, this salvation. All right, so Acts 13:44 goes on. The following week, almost an entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord, but some of the Jews saw the crowds and they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. And here's the part where I want to do a little work before I go any further, because I didn't want to make this just a preaching point and go on. And this is basically the sin of jealousy, or the stronghold of jealousy. And I've talked about this before, because when I've come up against it, it's a bad one, all right? This is one we don't want to make peace with. And you may think, jealousy, okay, I got over that. I remember junior high. Yeah, I was jealous of so-and-so's boyfriend, girlfriend. Okay, I'm not a kid anymore. So jealousy, okay, if that's coming up in church, I'll go through it. Good, that's not a tough one on me. Well, before you pass judgment, let's do a little self-evaluation. I think you know how this works. And yeah, there's a version of schoolyard jealousy that will loosely give you a definition, but this is something more than that, that is coming against these two missionaries. And before we make judgments of these people, we need to say, God, we don't want to be hypocrites. I want to make sure I'm not walking around with the spirit of jealousy in me. Maybe it manifests slightly different. So I put little check boxes here. So the routine is you kind of make a mental check as I go through this. And, you know, we're going to be able to understand why Paul and Barnabas got slandered. But also, hopefully, it will show us if there's anything in us that the Lord needs to be cleared out. All right. So buried or outward anger over what I do not possess. And by the way, the anger ultimately ends up towards God. So this can be jealousy. This could be covetousness. Don't do this. This is going to rob your joy. This is a trick of the demonic to get you to look at what somebody else has. And you miss what you have. And you can't enjoy it. And you can't be thankful. Because you're like, oh, well, gee whiz, look at what Bill Gates has. I don't know Bill Gates. I guess I loosely understand how he made his billions, but that doesn't bother me. I'm not angry. I don't wake up going, man, that's not fair. I am so mad at Bill Gates today. No, good for him. I happen to think I'm probably richer than he is. And I thank God that I'm not looking at what somebody else has that I don't have. I'm able to look at what I do have and thank God for it. Amen. And that makes me rich. That is how this works. Be aware of this scheme of the demonic. All right. Anger and resentment towards those close to me who I perceive as withholding. Well, they should have done this for me. They should have done that for me, you know. I diminish or ignore those who have expressed who I have expressed jealousy towards. Basically, if you're seeing anger or diminishment towards others, it's probably not them. Okay, check that box and keep a little mental note. All right, I just got one more page here. I just took the highlights or lowlights. I don't know how do you call this. We have worksheets on this, and this is kind of a little preview for the Living Free class. We usually don't go over this stronghold, so I think it's a good chance as a church to kind of, again, do a little extra credit, a little extra cleaning house. I mentally build a case why I'm better or correct. All right, if that's going on in your thought life, realize that's not of God. There's something else going on there, and we have the tools and the authority to stand up to that. Don't let that rob another second of your joy of your life. I tear others down with my words. I spend a lot of time thinking about myself and what I deserve. I don't believe the Lord has my good in mind. I have a hard time believing that the Lord loves me, wants the best for me, and will provide for my every need. Yeah, that's because look at all these sentences begin with the word I, and the enemy has tricked you, and you're looking everywhere else. Selfishly. If we can be free of that, God's truth is going to flow, and you're going to be able to receive how much you are loved. And let God's lavish love flow into your heart. Your joy will come back. Your peace will come back. I pray for myself most often. I have a hard time praying, thinking about others. Come join us because we pray about others all the time. I don't believe what God's word says about me. I think that is our bottom line. Yeah, that is our bottom line. So maybe you ticked a couple boxes. Could we pray together and just clean this out of our church? We have a little model prayer. It's just a simple repentance. Yeah, God, I ticked two or three of those boxes. I'm done with it. Forgive me. I want to clean that out and be open to receive and be open to be thankful for what I have. All right, I guess you got to stand back up. We got to actually do this. Yeah, you came to church today, but you got to do a little work. Okay, it's not just a spectator sport today. You're going to have to get involved here. Now, please understand, I'll never ask you to pray for anything that's not your sin. So I know there's a little peer pressure. Hey, everyone stand up. But even in some degree, if a couple of these things hit home, that's what we're praying about. And as we pray as the people of God, saying, God, forgive us our sin, I believe God, in His mercy, in His grace, is going to cover people that aren't even here, going to cover your families, going to cover your workplace. We just need to see this spirit for what it is. It's a trick of the demonic. So repeat after me. In Jesus' name,
I confess
my sin
of jealousy.
I'm sorry, Jesus.
I repent.
I don't want it.
I don't want it to blind me
and steal from me
anymore.
Jesus,
thank you for your forgiveness.
I receive it.
I am forgiven.
I receive it.
So all jealousy,
be gone.
Break.
Off of my mind.
Out of my body.
Out of my relationships,
out of my finances,
out of my church,
out of my workplace,
out of my city,
be gone
and never return.
Holy Spirit of truth,
fill me
with more of your truth.
Joy come,
peace come.
Goodness come.
Self-control come.
Everywhere there was the spirit of jealousy,
now belongs to you.
Thank you for this victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good job, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for carrying a little weight this morning. All right, I'm just not up here by myself. We're all working this together. So, all right. So, and one of the reasons I didn't want to skip over that is by experience, when I have run head on into a spirit of jealousy, it's bad. It's not to be trifled. So, I'm glad we took it seriously. I'm glad we spent a little extra time and went after it. All right. So, Acts 13, verse 46, and Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews, but since you have rejected it, they rose up, got jealous, the spirit of jealousy came in and blinded them. So, since you have rejected it, and judged yourselves, okay, this is not God judging them, it's basically them making the decision, unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message. And all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Now, I know there's some language here that is a little difficult, and there's some theology in there that if you're interested in, come talk to me and I'm willing to discuss these things with you. But the points that I really want you to take away today are basically this. You have a choice, and that choice is exhibited here. People heard the message, actually people that had background and training and should have recognized that message, heard it and rejected it. Now, when they rejected it, Paul and Barnabas go, well, okay, we kind of figured that was going to happen, so now we're offering it to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles can believe it. They go, this is great, and they responded in great numbers, and I made a personal note here. This is for me that I wouldn't forget this, because the original language, I know here, this is a New Living Translation, says, and all who were chosen for eternal life became believers, and you're going like, I thought we had free choice, but this says chosen, and I'm like, yes. What this has to do with is God's sovereignty, meaning God alone has the right. He is God. And just because you and I can say yes or no to his love does not diminish his sovereignty. Now, that's the theology that's a little tough, a little difficult, and if you want to discuss that, I would love to discuss that with you. But here's what they were being thankful for. And as you do a word study on this phrase here and what they were glad for up here, what you're going to find is that in the original language, what is being said, the Gentile believers were so thankful to God that all the circumstances of their life that seemed so unrelated and so crazy were arranged by a sovereign God to end up that we were here at this time in this place and we heard this message about God's grace and we're saved. God, thanks for choosing us. Because we thought all this list of things that represented our life was just this big old pile of randomness. Now, you may look back at your life and say, oh, man, this was a bad chapter. That was a bad chapter. And there's not too many good chapters, but there is a bunch of stuff. And it all just seemed so random and so far from God. And so, you know, the whole time, God was closer to you than your own breath. And all that randomness when you were shaking your fist at God, running and gunning and doing your own thing and like, oh, no, God can't use any of this. God is sovereign. God had a plan. And his plan, his sovereignty, his love for you is greater than your sin. And that's what we're getting a picture of, that these Gentiles finally figured it out and go, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for every good, bad, indifferent circumstance, which isn't a circumstance. God, you are the God of creation. You are sovereign. And we end up here today, and we hear this message, and we understand it. And we're responding to your love by saying this. Yes, God, thank you for your salvation. Now, I'm going to create a little chapter here. Hopefully, if you see this logo, if you do ever see it again, this is based on understanding some theology of Scripture going all the way back to Genesis. So let me build this case a little bit more for you by saying that makes sense when you understand this. And I hear this question so often. Does chosen mean superior? You know, well, why did Paul and Barnabas have to go to the Jewish synagogue? Why did they go to the Jewish people first? And then you'll probably hear an answer, oh, well, they're God's chosen people. And when you hear that word chosen people, you kind of think, okay, well, there's a preference there. Why is God showing favorites? No, I wrote this title on purpose. Chosen does not mean favorite. Chosen with a purpose, and that is to reach all people everywhere throughout the ages. And here's the background to that. And if you didn't know this out of a study of Genesis, you wouldn't know this. So I very quickly here put down God's promises to Abraham, which is referred to as father to Abraham. This is kind of where, if you are Jewish in ethnicity or Jewish in religion, you would think this is where this started, but it's not. Abraham was blessed by another priest from Jerusalem, Melchizedek, thank you, got stuck there. So God always was moving, God always cared for people, but we don't know how he found Abraham, other than we see Abraham, evidence of faith that Abraham had that was pretty amazing. And basically, it's the faith to believe God. So since he believed God, God promised him several things. He would have many descendants. He would possess a land, a geography. And this is the one that you need to understand and is the most important. He would be a medium of blessing to all the people of all the earth. So, okay, chosen. Oh, good, I'm chosen. Aren't I special? Yeah, you're chosen to serve everyone. You're chosen to take my message and my love around the globe. No, I'm chosen. That must mean I'm special, I'm smarter, I'm like a... No, you're chosen to be servant of all. You're chosen to bless everyone else. Now, when that breaks down, it does break down. Sorry to say. And God's people had struggled with that throughout the ages to this day. Not all of them. There's a remnant that get it, that believe it. I went to one of their churches in Jerusalem, in Israel, when Kathy and I were there last year. And they know Jesus, and they are serving the world with the message of the gospel and these blessings that still come forward. So, okay, you need to know that, and by the way, this makes Christianity unique. There is no other religious system that says you are to bless everyone else. Every other religious system is about what we get out of the deal. You know, I get inner peace, I get to steal your stuff and, you know, pillage your village or, you know, I don't know. But all the world man-made religions are awful and they're selfish and they're immoral. Not Christianity. This is like, yeah, I'll choose you. Oh, God, amen. You chose me, yeah, to serve, to love, to be an example. So people will see this and know that I'm not angry God. I'm loving, mercy, forgiving God. So important little bystander. Oh, and by the way, this is after Abraham, but this gives you a little picture of the culture in Abraham's time. If you remember Joseph, three generations later, he's in Egypt, and he ends up saving the country and feeding all of Egypt during a terrible famine. But the waiter served Joseph at his own table, and his brothers were served at a separate table. The Egyptians, even after Joseph became this deliverer from the famine, the Egyptians ate with Joseph, sat at their own table because Egyptians despised Hebrews and refused to eat with them. I put this in here because I wanted you to realize this is the normal. Biased, prejudiced, that's our human condition. God said the opposite. No, you're not supposed to stick with your own ethnicity, your own culture. You're to be a blessing to everyone. Okay, well, that's got to be God. Because man is, I'm an Egyptian, you're not, I despise you. I mean, you think prejudice is new? You think bias is new? Go back to Genesis. It is not new. But it is the human, it's a reflection of the human condition. God is the opposite. God is love to everyone. And those that are followers of the true God understand that and are ones that will reach and love everyone. All right. So, talked a little bit about God's sovereignty. So the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and leaders of the city. Remember, they're out of Israel, at least what we know Israel today. And they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're catching this in the narrative. So again, I think I have it here. This is a pattern. The Jews reject, the Gentiles respond in great numbers, and the Jews become now aggressive, antagonistic. And I wanted to spend a little time on this because, listen, Christians, you're going to meet people that disagree with you. Don't be antagonistic. Love them. Can you love someone you disagree with? Well, okay, so Paul goes to the Jews first. They reject it. All right, you rejected it. Shake hands. See you later. No, that's not the case. It's like we want to stone you to death because now we disagree. Come on, guys. Where is your godliness? Where is your righteousness? This is not God's spirit. This is not God's way. Remember this, and this is a little insight to culture. We're now in the time of Jesus. As the time drew near for Jesus to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, meaning he had to go. He was going to go. His disciples tried to talk him out of it, but he said, no, I'm going. So he sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival, but the people of the village did not welcome him because he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents where the Jews are headquartered, and they've been very hurtful, and they've done awful things to the Samaritans, so the Samaritans said, hey, you're going there? We're going to reject you by association. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? Who thinks that way? Guys, okay, wait a minute. Street team, we're going to send you out, take some food, cares for some people. You know, they come back and they go, Pastor, some people disagreed with me. Let's call down some fire from heaven. No! Okay, yeah, I suspected that will happen. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go out next week. And then you know what we're going to do when they disagree with you next week? We're going to go out the week after that. And you know what? Let's get better at this. Let's take better stuff. Let's pray more. Let's bless more. What is this? Okay, someone disagrees with us. Let's toast them. Look at Jesus' response. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Obviously, if someone disagrees with you, please, it's not the end of the story. I've said this, you can ask my wife, I say this a lot of times, you know, because we talk and she's like, oh, you know, so-and-so doesn't like you or whatever. Oh, okay. But it's not the end of the story. Maybe they'll come back. Maybe I'll change. I'll get better. I don't know. But let's keep going. Let's keep loving. Let's keep caring. Let's stay open. Man, if you even close down, if you even, oh, I'll forget that. Man, now you've set up a hurdle. Now you've like, hey, you're going to make it even tougher. But God cares for Samaritans. He rebuked the disciples, said, wrong. Hey, it gets crazier than this. In Luke, he shares this. John said to Jesus, Master, we saw some people using your name to cast out demons. But we told them to stop because they weren't part of our group. Yeah. Church, you are a teeny part of a global kingdom. And it's not called Freedom River Outreach. It's called the body of Christ. And wherever you go on this earth, I pray the Holy Spirit will lead you to members of the church, which are the body of Christ around the world. And by the way, we have many of them come and visit here, and it's always fun when they do, and you recognize them, and I think your spirit resounds with their spirit, and you go, wow, I like these people. Yeah, because they're a member of your church. Not Freedom River Outreach, the body of Christ, the church. So, yeah, these guys, and this happens. I don't want to give an example. I don't want to even think of an example, but it happens where they're like, geez, they were casting out demons, but they weren't part of our church. Yeah, think about it. So let's, you know, we told them to stop. What were they doing? You know? Were people being freed of demons? Well, yeah. Well, let's look at the result. Let's look at the result, the fruit. And if we measure the fruit, high five. Yeah. Well, they weren't part of it. No, look at the fruit. High five. Way to go. That person had a demon, now they don't. This is a true lesson from my past, and this is going back almost 19 years. One of the first major healings that I was involved with in my church, I was a leader, it freaked some people out and they left the church. And I met with one family and I said, now again, why are you leaving? Oh man, so-and-so got healed. I'm like, well, that's a good thing. You know, he's got five kids, right? I mean, he was dying and now he's alive. Yeah, that freaked us out. I'm like, okay, but why is that making you leave? Oh, well, hey, if we wanted to go to a church where, you know, crazy stuff was happening, we'd go across the street. And apparently they did. They went across the street. And I couldn't understand that. I was actually kind of hurt by that. And I was kind of like, oh. And it took me a while. But through prayer and some revelation, the Lord said, yeah, apparently people get a little freaked out when God gets out of the box. And when our God is active in our lives and can actually reach out and touch us, it's like, whoa, I'm not sure I signed up for that. Well, a little FYI here at Freedom River Outreach, if you're hanging around here, that's what you are signing up for. We want God to reach out and touch us. We want God out of whatever little box you have him in, I have him in. We're saying, God, no limits, no conditions. You are welcome to be close, to be personal, to reach out and touch us. And Lord, can I say, please touch us. Amen. We need that healing. We need restored. We need our hearts knit back together, back to what you originally designed. All right. So Jesus instructed, don't stop him. Anyone who is not against you is for you. I think you know this lesson. I got to go on. I'm running out of time. But listen, here is our message. And this is Old Testament, but nothing has changed. This is Isaiah's prophecy. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. This is my ministry, our ministry as I would define it. Not to win an argument with you, not to talk you into something, not to sell you anything. My ministry is to take out all the rocks and junk that would cause you to stumble and be in your way of you finding God, of God changing your life, of you dealing with God, not with me, not with my brand, not with my organization, not with my system. No, none of that matters. There's only one thing I can do and have the power to do, and that is try to get out of the way between you and the sovereign God of this universe that loves you and created a circumstance to put you in this room today. And I don't want to get in the way of that. I don't want to mess that up with my little clever ideas or my whatever, you know, teaching. No. It's God's word. If I could get out of the way, if I could clear away a path in the wilderness, that's why we send street teams out. That's why we have the food bank. That's why we do everything that we do. We're just trying to make a path for someone to go down that path easier and find God themselves. That's not something I can do, but there's a ton of work in clearing the way, and that's what we're about here. All right. Okay, I'm going to skip through this. Basically, that cycle happens again. they preached. They get a bunch of people follow the Lord. And by the way, those that found salvation are praising God even in the mix of public turmoil and opposition. So, but I'm skipping down to this last. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. This is serious. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lysonia and the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area. And there they preached the good news. They just kept going. I'm talking about God being sovereign, meaning God has a plan. And these guys, you know, they had people receive the message. Cool. They had people reject the message. Okay. They had people wanting to kill them. All right, we'll just keep moving. Amazing. That's trusting God. No matter what happens, that's trusting God. That's where I want to be. That's what this place represents. That's who we are. All right. Real quick, this is a healing that I want you to be aware of. So because of that mob, they get moved here. And while they were in Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had the faith to be healed. So Paul called on him in a loud voice, "Stand up," and the man jumped to his feet and started walking. When the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, "These men are gods in human form. They've never seen anything like that." So again, if you... you know, wherever taught about the Greek gods, they have a bunch of them, and they immediately defaulted to that. They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and that Paul was Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Now, the temple of Zeus was located just down the street, so the priests of the temple and the crowd brought bulls and wreaths and flowers and to the town gates, and they prepared to offer sacrifices to these two guys. All right, so... when they realized what's hurt, I'm just going to paraphrase for sake of time, but they realized what was going on, it grieved the two apostles. They said, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings, just like you, all right? Don't let your fear or your ignorance fool you. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless idols and religion." He basically starts talking about God and his heart for them, and that God had never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. Now, I underline this because if you know anything about Zeus and Hermes, the gods they believed in, they're angry gods. They're immoral, awful gods. They're bad people, let alone bad gods. They're idols. They're demonic in nature. So it's interesting that Paul uses this emphasis as he describes the true God. He's a good God. Quite a difference. I'm going to skip ahead here. Paul realized the man had the faith to be healed. I titled this, "Some of the Ways That God Heals." I want you to realize that, man, we fear what we don't understand. So they decided Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus because they've never seen anyone healed. So again, you know, they didn't have a church across the street to go to, but they probably would have if they had that option. They were a little freaked out. I have a picture here of Zeus. This is the angry god of thunder. And when the thunder goes off, it's a little scary. And so they named that and said, okay, that's that, you know. So they think this is, Barnabas looks a little buff, doesn't he? He's like, whoa. Okay, no, that's not Barnabas. He said, no, that's not who I am, guys. But this isn't the only way God heals. Remember Acts 3, same book, same apostles, but the crippled man didn't even ask for healing and he was healed. I didn't want you to get hung up on, oh, well, I would be healed if I just had enough faith. Well, yeah. Paul looked at this guy and realized there was faith in the room. But back in Acts chapter 3, this guy's just begging. He didn't even ask for healing. He was asking for money. And the two disciples said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. He's like, I didn't even ask for that. I wanted cash. Come on. It's like, is that an option? Get up and walk? I never walk. Get up and walk. They heal him. Okay, so two healings, very different. Let's make mental notes of every way that God heals. As a result of the apostles' work, here's another example of healing, still in the book of Acts. Sick people were brought out on the streets in beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as they went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. Three very different examples of healing in the same book. I bring this and we'll end on this. I'll show you this last slide. Because healing here at Fro, I feel like we're these little kids. That's how I feel, at least. I'm learning. God, I've seen you heal. I've experienced your healing. My family has experienced your healing. I want all to be healed. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to keep going until we see this healing of every kind, of every infirmity, of every emotional, mental condition. I'm just a little kid in kindergarten, but I'm going to keep going. And this is an example I have. I'm claiming the low-hanging fruit of prophetic words, meaning there have been prophetic words about Tacoma, place of healing. There have been prophetic words about the West Coast, starting in Azusa Street about 100 years ago. There have been prophetic words. Actually, I had a vision about John G. Lake Healing Ministry, Spokane, Washington, having to do with our region, our geography. So we have a healing service scheduled in November. Help me, because I know there's going to be faith for healing in the room. It's going to be your job to invite every sick friend you have to be in this room. And we're going to be like these little kids, grabbing the fruit we can reach. I have a feeling other people who are probably smarter, more spiritual, taller, thinner, have more hair, have walked past this fruit. But I'm not going to walk past it. I got to reach and say, God, this word maybe was designed for somebody else. Become a student of what happened in Azusa Street, because there was a prophetic word that said 100 years later that would break out again on the West Coast. We're on the West Coast. Maybe they were talking about a different city, but I'm going to claim it. Okay. It hasn't happened yet that I know of. I haven't seen it. So that fruit's still there. I'm picking it. Plus, there people have said, hey, I heard this guy prophesy about Tacoma. You know him? I go, no, I haven't. But I looked him up and I listened and I'm like, Lord, I receive it. There have been prophetic words about me. There have been prophetic words about us. And you go like, wow, gee, it's been a long time and nothing's happened. I'm not walking by. It could be another 10 years. I have no idea. But this November, we got it scheduled. So it's not going to be because we didn't ask. And who knows, this may be the year. Amen. This may be the year. I'm claiming our heritage from our region, John G. Lake, from our West Coast, Azusa Street, and you probably have words spoken over you that you may have forgotten about, but I'm going to call them forward. Let's stand. We'll dismiss on that. I'm going to call them forward right now. Well, first of all, Holy Spirit of Truth, hear our hearts in this. We want to see people set free. We want to see people healed. We want to see ordinary people like us walk in the supernatural with authority over physical stuff, emotional stuff, mental stuff. God, I know none of that's from you. And when you taught us to pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I know there aren't broken hearts in heaven. I know there's not mental illness in heaven. I know there's not addiction in heaven. I know there's not cancer and disease, things in the blood, organ failure. I know that doesn't go on in heaven. But God, it's here on earth, and it's here in this room and with loved ones that we know. So we want to say, God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come now to Tacoma, Washington. And Lord, I call forward right now, not only me, but you just kind of nudged me and reminded me that you have spoken very direct words over a lot of people in this room. So I call forward right now to your memory by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those words you might have forgotten, they're still active. And in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that we will see the manifestation of those words sooner than later. That we don't even have to wait till November to when we have this on the calendar, when we have it scheduled. God, healing, deliverance, freedom breaks out now. We call that forward. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, minister. Teach us. We will be your kindergarten students. We confess we have a lot to learn when it comes to your ways of healing. But there's Abrahamic faith in this room. We believe you. And we've signed up to live for you. So we're not going to fear this process. Lord, rework us. Care for us. Love us. But change us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And if you agree with this prayer, then you can say the amen with me, all right? So in Jesus' name, the whole church says,
amen.
Amen. Thanks for coming to church today. You're dismissed.